Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, Food Forward founder and executive director, Rick Namias.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, Alex Nestor. I am Mark Leger, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Well, it's always a special day for us here at the Life Changes Show because you're all here, we're all here, and we have special guests and musical guests. Today is particularly special because joining us live right now is the program manager of the BBS Radio Network, Doug Newsom. Doug, are you there?
I am. Hi.
Hi. We wish you were in studio with us, but I know you have a special announcement for us, and we can't wait to hear it.
Yes. In fact, you know, we've been doing this radio, as you know, probably longer than anybody else in the industry. And that's saying something. We literally do the work, we know the business, and we've probably operated in the neighborhood of 1,000 different radio show hosts, maybe 80,000 individual shows or more. So we've done a lot of work in this industry. And you and your team, Filippo, are truly outstanding. When somebody calls the network to become a show host and they ask about a show format, I say, listen to Life Changes Show. Their timing and format of each segment is brilliant. The live intros are excellent. They interview dynamic guests and showcase live musical talent at a very high quality. They get it done and they do it right, including the sound. The show has a remarkable, creative co-host, wise, caring executive producer. It's a show with an excellent team. Add to that a host, Filippo, that everyone loves and loves to be interviewed by, who is smart and funny, open and interesting, and easily brings out the best rapport. If they wanted to do talk radio right, they'd emulate the Life Changes Show. And our congratulations to this extremely talented team and an award of excellence to your team from BBS Radio. It's the first we've ever given out. And you deserve it. Your team deserves it. You're simply cut above the best.
Wow, Doug, I knew you were going to say something. I had no idea what you were going to say. And boy, did you say it. From the bottom of my heart, thank you to you and to your brother, Donald Newsom, from all of us here at the Life Changes Show. Dorothy and Mark.
Thank you. Thank you, Doug. And thank you, Don, for being with us and helping make us great. We appreciate you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'd like to.
Thank you, Dorothy. Thank you.
I would like to echo those thanks, Doug and Don. And, you know, we've all grown so much over the years. It's been a pleasure to work with you and very grateful to be honored by you in this way and with those kind words. Thank you so much.
Mark, you deserve it. You're a special man, and I tell you, you're fantastic. I give you a big hug.
Well, Doug, we've been together actually since the start of this show, and so it's very special that we've grown together. Your network has grown so much in this time, and it's been a pleasure to grow with you, and I know we've grown, and thankfully in the past 3.5 years or so, we've been here growing at Studio NoHo thanks to our technical director here, Brent Hahn. So we want to extend our thank you to him for also helping us get this award today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Brent.
Thank you, Brent. Thank you. You made it possible to have wonderful musical guests, and we are grateful.
And for that matter, he makes us sound great, too. I mean, you should hear me when I'm not here in the studio.
Well, you have talent on every aspect of your team.
Well, thank you so much. And we look forward to sharing the photos with you of the image of the... actually, the full name is the BBS Radio Broadcasting Award of Excellence, going to the Life Changes Show for 2017. And we are honored. Thank you once again, Doug. And we look forward to more time together and special shows.
Thank you, Filippo. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Dorothy. Thank you, Brent. You're all doing phenomenal. My top hat to you all.
Thank you so much. And I'd also like to thank not only all the guests, but all the musical guests and all the people that helped us get the guests and musical guests here that have supported us along the way. And, of course, all of our listeners. And with that, we'll be right back with another great guest and another great musical guest, all on the Life Changes Show when we come back right after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. Wow, that was very special. And now something else that's very special. Our guest is founder and executive director of Food Forward. We'll find out exactly what that is here together. And he's also an artist and an activist. He is Rick Namias. Welcome to the show and thank you for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
And on such a special show, this is very,
very
meaningful.
Auspicious evening.
And actually, speaking of awards, you have been, and technically still are, an award-winning photographer and writer. And so I'd like to know a little bit more about that before we get into what the meat or the fruit the fruit of the show is going to be.
You got it. Well, my second career from my mid-30s into my mid-40s was as a photo documentarian. I did still photo documentary work, and much of that was focused on looking at marginalized communities and trying to help humanize the stories that they brought, and also using it as a way for us to understand actually how much closer we are and how that each of us has marginalized parts of us that we often push into the shadows and refuse to look at. And I found courage, I found community, I found hope in these people over the 10, 15 years I worked with them, telling their stories through images and words and their voices. And that was work that went on to be traveling exhibitions, a couple of books put out by University of New Mexico Press, which won some awards. And ultimately, the prints have traveled to over 50 museums around the country, and several prints now reside in the Smithsonian permanently. So I'm quite honored and humbled that the work found an audience and seemed to speak to people.
Wow, you just spoke to me in a way that I've never had this put in this way, in that... If we're looking at the marginalized people on the outside in the world, that we can potentially be connecting with the parts of us that either we or others marginalize, what a beautiful thing. We talk about sometimes working within, and so that helps what's happening without. Well, it sounds like working on both ends is necessary.
I mean, I'm a real believer in the Jungian concept of the collective unconscious, and that the pain that we see in others is really a reflection of pain that we need to own.
Wow.
And I think that's what ultimately led me to a career now in the nonprofit space around helping feed people, is I think we live in a country and in a city and in a state of abundance, of overflowing abundance, and that we shamefully waste, you know, upwards of 40% of what we create as far as food goes, and that if we had more intentionality about the way we live and the way food is distributed, with very little effort, we could be feeding everybody. And when you learn those facts, it's very hard to go back and just eat a really nice dinner in a fancy restaurant. Now, I still eat nice dinners at fancy restaurants when I can, and I'm fortunate enough to have that opportunity. But when I do it, I'm really clear for myself to take a moment and say, what did it take for that food to get here, and what am I doing with it? You know, it's this may sound over the top, but to me, eating is really a spiritual experience. It's something that if we all just were to take a moment instead of just stuffing food in our face three times a day, for those of us who are fortunate enough to do it, that I think we would all, as a society, like act a little differently. We'd value this food. We wouldn't just be looking for the cheapest things and the quickest things, but we'd actually say, what's the story behind the food? Who are the people that made it happen? And who are those in our world that don't have the good fortune to eat healthy, nutritious food? And so Food Forward was an outgrowth of those questions, intentions, and desires to bring fair and equitable eating to people that didn't really have that opportunity. It came about at the time of the worst recession we've all experienced in our lifetimes. And it was, for me personally, a reaction to, you know, a bunch of things that were going on in my life where I couldn't just be bitter, but I needed to be an activist. I needed to make change and turn the other cheek. One of those things being the Prop 8 win in 2008, where marriage equality was basically overturned and my own marriage was put into question. And, you know, again, it would have been easy to stay bitter and just find the enemy on the other side. And somehow, through great luck, I was given an opportunity to look at food as a lens for change. And that I found that in an easy, fun, sustainable way, we could take what's already in our own lives, our own backyards, our own daily interactions with the world, and turn it into something good.
And figuratively, that's a great way to talk about this. And yet, you're actually talking about literally in our own backyard.
Literally in our own backyard. Yeah, Food Forward was born in a friend's backyard, a block and a half away from my house. She has two citrus trees, one tangerine and one navel orange. And the experiment was, could I take the produce from her backyard off the tree, put it in boxes that
which she probably wasn't eating.
She wasn't using it. It was going to squirrels.
Just falling off and
the gardener
had to clean it up.
Absolutely. And, yeah. It was a nuisance. Could I take that valuable, nutritious, healthy, vitamin-rich produce that was fresher than anything you or I could buy at Whole Foods or anywhere else and give it, share it, gift it to people in need? And and the answer was yes, with exclamation points afterwards. And were there people that wanted to do this with me? Yes, again. Was there an easy mechanism in which to recruit more volunteers and more homeowners into the experience? God, yes. We just began first year, got flooded, and we just kept doing one backyard after the next, all volunteer-based. And by the end of that first year, we had 100,000 pounds of backyard fruit that was all hand-picked, mostly in the San Fernando Valley, going to about four agencies. Flash forward to today, about 8.5 years later, we're recovering about 300,000 pounds every week.
Every week?
Every week. Now, that's not just backyard harvesting anymore, I'll be very honest. That's a sliver of it. We're also doing about 24 farmers markets where volunteers recover produce at the end of each session from Long Beach all the way up to Ventura. Every single week we're out there because what people don't know is at the end of farmers markets is the most fragile produce gets thrown out. It doesn't get moved to the market the next week. It won't make it. And then the big one for us is the wholesale market downtown, where millions of pounds are exchanged every day on the open market. And much of what isn't exactly perfect and what is when there's something fresher coming hours behind it, it's thrown out.
Wow.
And so we've figured out a very easy, reliable, transparent, and professionalized system on all those programs to get that produce out of its out of the way and into the hands of people who need it.
Wow. It's brilliant. And I know that people like to talk about win-win. I like to talk about win-win-win. And you've added another win, actually.
Oh, yeah.
So when we come back, I'd love for you to share with us what those four wins are and then more about the organization and how we could get involved and what else we could do, other ideas maybe that haven't been thought of yet. So more with Rick Namayas when we come back. And then our musical guest today is Alex Nestor, who will be singing live here in the studio with us, all on the Life Changes show right after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark Leisure and, of course, our guest, Rick Namayas. And actually, Mark, you went out on one of these expeditions, right?
Yeah, I had the great fortune of meeting Rick and getting to know the whole Food Forward process through a couple of Gals and Guys Give Back, who we've given a couple of shout-outs to.
Yeah.
I'll probably mention them later in the show, but... It was so heartwarming to me to know how far along you guys were. I used to live, or I had a period of time living a couple of blocks from Skid Row, and during that time there was a farmer's market that was right out front. And one day it was so obvious, and I had this striking and disheartening aha as I was watching them pack the farmer's market up. And I was literally stepping over the homeless people to get back. And it just became so obvious to me that there is such a massive disconnect for most of society. And then to find you, you know, in terms of not getting that food to the needers. And
here's it's interesting you use that word. That's how I see us. We're a connector organization. We're a bridge organization. We do not personally hand out the food to those in need. We give them to agencies because there's no need for yet another agency or another food pantry. There's 1,300 across LA County. So when I started doing this, I did research and I'm like, what is the niche that's needed? Well, they needed fresh fruits and vegetables. They needed a reliable supply. And they needed basically a pipeline, which was not going to cost them money because several other resources like food banks would often charge. So we went from just oranges and tangerines to now over 200 types of fruits and vegetables.
Right. I'm here in Southern California right with you, and I'm thinking, yeah, I see the neighbors with the trees of oranges and grapefruit and all that. But what else?
Oh, kale and radishes and dragon fruit and honeydews and watermelon. I mean,
wow.
I can just – things that even I as a trained cook have never used or seen before. And – again, fruits and vegetables are the hardest things to come by. They're the healthiest things. We're a country where 40% of our population is obese. So eating this diet is what people need. And we've now been able to indirectly and directly serve over 350 agencies in eight counties with what we do on a regular basis. So from San Diego up to Santa Barbara, we have about 1.5 million people a year receiving our produce at a cost of about 9 cents a pound, which is about a third of what it costs a food bank to get the same stuff.
That's significant. And 1.5 million is significant,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, we're reaching a lot of people. And it's one of those things where we can reach more. So we're hoping people will step up and volunteer or open their wallet and donate. Foodforward.org is the website. It's really easy to find. We have a really great Facebook page as well where we're posting stories about food justice and recipes and ways to get involved in community activism, whether it's through us or other people doing great stuff around food. We again see ourselves as a large community, and I also serve on the Food Policy Council here in Los Angeles on their board. And LA is such an amazingly vibrant food culture, and I'm not just talking again about the really nice restaurants and the great chefs, but I'm talking about ethnic food. I'm talking about sustainability issues around labor. We're really kind of we were the first city in the country to have a food policy council, and it's there's actually an event, I think October 24th at downtown LA, that's open to the public for Food Day. If you're around in the morning, stop by. You'll learn everything you want to know about why LA is such a thriving epicenter of food. But Food Forward is now, to my great surprise and pride, is the largest urban produce gleaning organization. We say gleaning because that's exactly what we do. We take stuff that is surplus that would otherwise go to waste and give it to people in need. And we've become the largest group of our kind in the Western U.S. And we're now having our models replicated. We're inspiring others, hopefully, to do the same type of work. And it's an amazing gift to be able to do this and to be directing an organization that's innovating, that's full of these A players that just every day come to work and are inspired and inspiring.
Well, speaking of inspiring, what is the win-win-win-win?
The win to the fourth. All right, so when we started, I realized that Food Forward wasn't a win-win. That was a term in 2007, 8, 9, whatever, that was all over the place, right? Win-win. Yeah. Now, this is a win to the fourth. It's basically homeowners are getting their trees harvested. That's a win.
Mm-hmm.
Volunteers are getting this really and tangible, as Mark said, unique experience of getting out and making change right away. The pantries are getting produce that they couldn't get otherwise or they were paying for before. And the big one is people in need are getting fresh, healthy produce.
Mm.
So those are four wins. I have to tell you, though, Filippo, that in the interim, me and my board have sat down and we've actually teased it out. And there's probably 40 or 50 wins.
Nice.
And I won't get into those. Nice. But it's one of those gifts that just keeps giving.
Mm. Nice. This might be important to mention, too. Aren't there tax write-offs for...
Yep. The homeowners get tax write-offs, the farmers, and we work with an amazing group of, I think, it's over 100 local farmers donate through the Farmers Market Program again. And the donations also from the big wholesalers downtown are getting tax deductions.
Wow.
So there's definitely another, you know, level. I mean, if someone's coming into it for that reason, that's fine, and there are rewards there. But they're not... I can tell you that it's a fraction of the people that give it. People that give to us are coming from a place of altruism and connecting to a being able to be part of a solution that's homegrown. And that's another thing is a lot of people don't realize LA has this deep, rich agricultural history. There's actually an amazing book I'll give a shout out to called From Cows to Concrete.
Hmm.
And it's about the agricultural history of urban LA. And in it, they trace through pictures and amazing documents where we began as an agricultural city and where we are today. And you learn that this is where the citrus industry started.
Right. Probably right where we're sitting.
There were tens of thousands of trees. About 500,000 acres of commercial citrus is where the valley was.
Wow.
And that's almost all gone. What's kind of really cool, though, is where I met Mark was at Orchid Ranch in the West Valley, and just a few miles from there at Cal State Northridge is another large orchard, 400 trees that are original old growth trees.
Mm.
And so several times a year, we go out with groups of hundreds of people, and it becomes like a giant party.
Mm.
We're recovering between, I don't know, 8,000 and 20,000 pounds at each event. But what we're doing is we're reconnecting people with what the original purpose of this land was,
wow,
you know, as far as 100 so years ago. And it's another perk. It's another win, if you will, to that list.
You were saying earlier, I don't remember your exact words, but something that this is legal, easy, and fun.
Yeah. And immediate, all right? So we're a culture of immediate gratification, right?
Yeah.
So you put your cell phone down, you connect with a few people around a tree, and I got to tell you, when you start doing it, you do feel a charge, a change of energy. When you take a piece of fruit that's a living object off a living tree and put it in a box and know that within a few hours, that fruit is in the hands of someone in need. That would not have happened. That would not be there if it was not for you. So there is a transfer of energy if you want to get metaphysical about it. And I do, because I feel like at a very simple level, it's also very, very complex and it's very rewarding. You know, we work with high technology. We have our own software that allows us to do upwards of 200 volunteer-powered events every single month.
Wow.
With a lot of finesse and coordination and logistics. But when it comes down to it, it's you and a fruit tree. And that's what it's about, is, again, doing something that 1,000, 2,000 years ago, when people want to get biblical about gleaning, which is where the term really came from, is people would take the corners of the field that were untouched and glean them for the people who were in need.
Well,
we're doing it now in a slightly different way, but it's still the same action.
Oh, it's the same action, but also, I mean, when you really think about it, you talk about transfer energy, everyone can relate with that moment of being late for dinner or late for lunch and that hunger. And imagine the amount of energy when you start going across all the people you've touched with that source of energy and that source of nurturing.
Yeah.
It's massive.
The massive need here is staggering to me, and the irony that we have this abundance of millions of pounds that are going to waste. And it's about just redirecting it. It's about being a kind of a logistics operator and figuring out where the food needs to go and getting it there. That's been the blessing. And it's, again, how do you use the high technology and the tracking and the GPS to actually make those connections tighter and better while never losing the humanity of the action of helping feed people?
Wow. I love the fact that you're combining that even in this conversation. It means obviously that it is part of everything that you're doing. And we're not just talking people, because I know sometimes people say, well, why don't they get a job, or whoever they think they're referring to. But we're also talking children.
Yeah. There's a shameful number of kids in need. On the flip side of that, I'm happy to say that we get a lot of kids who come out and volunteer with us.
Nice.
And they come out with their parents, and I think it's 5 years and older we're able to handle in a backyard harvest. Is there are these aha moments? No, the fruit doesn't grow at Ralph's on a pile. It actually grows
Seriously?
On a tree. Yeah, you'd be amazed at the moments in which these kids who have been just coddled with iPhones and iPads in front of them all the time, that they actually put it down, and mom and dad actually kind of force this connection. And there is a connection made. And whether they take it and do something, I don't know. But we actually have we're piloting an educational program in fifth grade. And we're trying to get kids to understand the flip side of this coin I talk about, which is hunger on one side and waste on the other, and how the solution is in that coin. And we've been amazed by how receptive and brilliant these kids are when they come and do the activities that we bring into schools. And we just, again, it's a feeling that when you have a really simple solution to a problem and can just bring the noise level down, everybody gets it.
Well, actually, bringing the noise level down, you had to bring your own noise level down of anger or whatever bitterness, as you said, in order to hear a possibility. And I trust that people are listening to this, they're hearing possibilities. Obviously, they could do something easy like donate to foodforward.org.
Right.
So it's just foodforward.org. So they could donate money. They could donate their time in a very real and easy, fun, and legal way. I like the legal.
I'm trying to think of an illegal way, but you know, we're in Southern California. I'm sure there's plenty of examples, right? Just down the street. Oh, wait, that's legal now, too. So what are we talking about?
So, and it could be fun for the whole family and know Absolutely. That they're doing something good, right? And I mean, some people go to church on Sunday, and maybe they could also include this as part of...
Absolutely. Our harvests are at all hours of the day, and when you look at our calendar, it's really easy to find something that fits. I got to say, I feel blessed on many levels, but one of the things, too, is that people come and they come back. So you can come and be a one-time volunteer, or if it really floats your boat, you can become like a leader. Mm. And the leading and the trainings are so simple, and what we ask is maybe once a month engagement on that front, but people get involved and they come back, and you can really see whether they're college interns or they're people who have retired and they've got that great energy and they just need something to direct it towards, the range of how they get to own our experience. Mm. That was also something that I was really, I think, intentional about and I'm still really proud of, is that Food Forward is an unusual nonprofit, I've learned, in the sense that besides a few tenants, that 100% of our food goes to the hungry, that none of it is wasted as best we can do, but that what I like so much is that individuals who come and volunteer with us and become leaders get to bring their own personality. We may give them a few bullet points, some safety tips, things like that. But otherwise, we want their personality to shine through and their passion to lead. And I just hadn't found many nonprofits like that. And we've been blessed with hundreds of volunteers.
Or businesses like
exactly.
that.
It's like, we want you and we want what's in you.
Right.
We don't just want your, you know, we want your sweat. But we want you to be able to own this in a way that whether you experienced hunger as a child or you're someone who is an avid gardener of citrus and you have tips for people on how to deal with a tree, bring it. Bring it. Show it.
So much to learn. Rick, thank you so much. So
Absolutely.
Much to learn from foodforward.org. Check out what they're doing. Foodforward.org. We'll have some closing remarks with Rick Namayas when we come back. And then live music here in the studio with our musical guest, Alex Nester, all on the Life Changes Show right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease, on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and, of course, our guest, Rick Namayas. And first of all, it's been an absolute pleasure to learn and to see what somebody, what Rick is doing and what people like Rick can do all over the world. So foodforward.org, of course, is his organization. They could use more boots on the ground, so to speak, and of course, more dollars to help do more of what they do and more homes, I imagine, that and producers of food.
Yeah, absolutely. People with homes can sign up their trees right away. You know, I think that What I do like to do is get people out to volunteer with us because there's these aha moments when you're up in a tree and suddenly you're like, oh, I really get it. But I think if there's a message that the organization brings is just share it. You got it? Share it. And again, it could be food. It could be money. It could be clothing. It could be your time. It could be a skill where you mentor someone. We all have something that is in abundance and that we don't need and that we can share and someone else is going to, you know, benefit by. And to me, that's we're looking at it through the lens of food, which to me is a great unifier. You know, breaking bread with folks is just so powerful. But I feel, again, we live in this crazy town of so much. And if we just learn to share it a little bit more without the expectation of it coming back, it comes back in spades.
Well, thank you so much for being such a beacon in this world and for sharing with us.
Thanks for having me.
As
I appreciate
you have it today. This has been brilliant.
My pleasure.
Rick Namayas, and again, foodforward.org. Mark, we have Dorothy coming up with our Ask Dorothy segment, and I believe you have a shout-out.
Yeah, I got a couple of quick shout-outs. We wanted to give Gwen.live a quick shout-out again. The Gwen Talks Radio went live this last week. week. And Tess Cacciatore hosts Gwen Talks Radio to connect with the Gwen Global community, to engage with intimate conversations that reveal and heal. Check out gwen.live. And also I wanted to follow up again with our friends at Couple of Guys and Gals Give Back. And I love what they're doing, and I've been trying to highlight different aspects of it because it's not just about the service, but it's about the way they build community. For our leaders, they say, we are committed to developing their talents so that they can strike out in their own and spreading the message of change through compassion. And all of this creates a grapevine that spreads awareness of our message to our communities and the world. Check out coupleofguysandgals.org. Dorothy, my name is Saul, and I live in Dallas, Texas. I have started a group called Assassins of Darkness, and I would like for you to invite your listeners to join me in fighting the darkness that appears to be winning the war against humanity.
My dear Saul, have you examined the meaning of the term assassin? It's simply another word for murderer, killer, or gunman. Please pay attention to the words you choose to use. My belief is that war is a destroyer of peace, and I choose to be a bringer of peace, love, and light as a light worker and not as an assassin. One cannot defeat darkness with darkness. The power of love is what we need to share in order to find and bring peace to earth. Peace in the world can only come through creating peace within and by shining love and light onto all. There have been so many wars and no peace ever came because of war. My father, who was a highly decorated Marine in World War II, once told me that all wars are created as a way to raise money for the already wealthy powers that be. He shared with me that humanity should not fight for peace, because fighting has never brought about peace, and I believe that it never will. True peace, happiness, and joy can only come to us when it moves through us. This is the only way to peace. Each being on this planet has come here to be love and share love, and once we accept this, we can then begin to live in the peace and joy that is meant to be. Therefore, I respectfully ask you to join my movement for peace by being love, compassion, and by being the light and sharing the light that we all truly are. Let's look for opportunities all around us to bring a little peace into the lives of those we encounter. Let us feed the hungry, and let's see and share smiles with the elders who are locked up and alone. And let's bring laughter to those who need it the most. Let's get together and find solutions instead of focusing on everything that is wrong. We have opportunities every day to become vehicles of love, happiness, and joy for everyone who crosses our paths. Let's each step into being the love, peace, and joy that we are meant to be, and the light we share through loving will overcome the darkness.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if any of you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
Yes, thank you. And we'll be right back with our musical guest, Alex Nestor, right after this here on The Life Changes Show.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities,
corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We are back. I'm Filippo sitting here with Mark and, of course, our guest, Rick Namias. And joining us in the studio is a singer, a songwriter, and so much more. She's an advocate. She's an advocate for so much. She has had a bout with cancer, and this has helped shape her into some unique ways, including some unique sound filled with messages of love, faith, positivity, and healing. While channeling, and I feel that you'll hear this, the retro soul artists of the 60s and 70s. As a matter of fact, she's gotten to work with many of them, including people like Tito Jackson of Jackson 5, but has opened up as a solo act for Earth, Wind, and Fire, Chicago, and the list goes on, and has worked with Carlos Santana and Stevie Wonder, the Four Tops, the Fifth Dimension, Frankie Valli, the Four Seasons. I need to stop because I need to breathe. But other than that, welcome to the show, Alex Nestor.
Thank you for having me.
It's such a pleasure. And we know you've been traveling so much, it's been hard to actually get a date. And how great that you're finally here with us. And
I love it when a plan comes together.
It finally came together. And you have worked with so many, been spreading music throughout the world. You had this bout with cancer. I mean, you have so much to share.
A bit. Well, I started working on my first solo album when I was about 16, and just starting into working on that is when I got diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Oh, wow.
So I... Wow. And it wasn't a normal go to the doctor, you get a bad phone call. I, you know, in my 16-year-old logic, let it go until I was really sick and ended up in the emergency room with lots of other problems. They found out it was cancer, and thank God they did find out when they did and started treatment when they did. And I'm over 16 years cancer-free now, which is kind of mind-boggling for me.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And well, thank you, because you're also putting so much of this into your music, and you have so much to share as a powerful woman in this field.
Well, I know that music, for me, music is the best way that I can get my point across. You know, I tend to, sometimes I step over my words, but, you know, music is just such a powerful entity. It's a healer. I remember listening to, like, Stevie Wonder's As and Golden Lady when I was sick, and just being able to step out of my life for the duration of that song and be totally fine. No pain, no cancer, no hurt, no sickness, no nothing. I was fine for that, like, 4 or 5 minutes. Well, 7 minutes in the case of S, but it gave me a second wind when I needed it. And so I want to be able to, you know, do that for other people too. And still, even myself, I write a song that does it for me too.
I like that, being able to give people a second wind. Mm-hmm. And you know, speaking of second winds, actually, I shouldn't talk about it until I know which one you're going to sing first. Which song are you going to sing first?
First one I'm going to do is my most current single.
Yes, that's what I wanted to talk about. Okay, so you sent that, and I'm listening to it, and I'm like, wow, this is so powerful. And it's called I Am More. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, what an anthem. And it's so beautiful. And then I looked at the actual title, and it's I Am More, Jamie's song. And I thought, oh, there's a story there. Of course.
I am part of the Marcel Arian Cancer Foundation, which is a small nonprofit based in Ventura County. It was named after my oncologist mother, Marcel Arian, and our focus is helping people in the community who are going through cancer, helping their families where insurance falls short, or just showing them extra kindness. It's We're not a huge foundation. We're not going to cure it, but we can look at people in the community. We can look at an individual and say, how can we make your life easier?
Wow.
How can we make this a little better? How can we give you a second wind?
Hmm.
We also host a women's support group the third Wednesday of every month. And at this one support group, I met this girl, Jamie McClintock. She was fighting triple negative breast cancer. The day I met her, a few hours before, she decided, her and her husband shaved their heads, and just she showed up to this support group, didn't know anybody, showed up with this beautiful shaved head, and I was just, I told her, I was like, I am so in awe of you and your power.
Mm.
And I got to know her a little bit more over the next, you know, year and a half or so. And she got really sick towards the end, and it just, she fought tooth and nail. But it got to a point where, you know, she was in hospice at the hospital, and there was only a certain amount of time she had left. And I'd go after my shows and just spend the night over there with her, with some of her other friends and family, and just be there and give her love.
Mm.
But I had written this song for her in the middle of her battle because I wanted her to have her own fight song. Something that she could sing at the top of her lungs and just internalize and tell herself. That's why it's I am more. I wanted those words coming out of her mouth.
Mm.
I am more. I can make it. I can get through this. I can beat this. And I know she had other songs that meant a lot to her and kind of did that for her, but I figured if I wrote something for her, something that was just hers, it may just, you know, help her in that fight. And I pray it did.
And now others can use it too. And boy, I thought it was powerful when I heard it without knowing the backstory. And just now that we know that, just wait for people to hear this. I can't wait for them to hear it.
That's a beautiful thing about music, is it's for everyone.
Mm.
Even if something's written for someone, if it speaks to you, that song was written for you.
Well, you spoke to me, and I look forward to you speaking to all of our listeners. Here is Alex Nestor singing I Am More, Jamie's song, live on the Life Changes Show here at Studio NoHo.
I've gotta say the words, though every letter hurts, over and over. Will this ever be over? The world is standing there, refusing to be fair, trying to tell me it's over, but I'm not ready to be over. I am more than my looks or my skin. I am more than my triumphs or my sins. I am more than my losses or my wins. I am more. Rider, force the seal. Tell you your fate is real. If you're young or you're older, this time it really is over. But nothing's written yet. The stone has not been set. So I'll continue to soldier until I say it is over. I am more than my looks or my skin. I am more than my triumphs or my sins. I am more than my losses or my wins. I am more.
afraid, but if failure is hell, then I've been saved. It's time to exercise my faith. What I believe will relieve, set me free. If I keep on, I've been taught and I've been warned. Lessons come in many different forms. So I smile into the face of scorn as I sail through the deep. There's a reason to keep on.
Alex Nestor. This song actually just came out. I Am More, Jamie's song. It's available at alexnester.com. That's Alex, AlexNester.com. But it's also available...
iTunes.
Yeah.
It's there's a really cool music video for it featuring a good friend of mine, Gina Dunlap, most incredible dancer. That girl has been incredible since high school. I tell you, she's just something else. And she made this song, like, just the movement she did and what she did with it just took it to a whole nother level. So that's on YouTube and, you know, CD Baby. It's everywhere.
And that's just come out. So what a pleasure and an honor to have you here live on our show singing it, technically unplugged. Actually, I should mention that was Alex playing the keyboard as well. So, yes, that's her. The multi-talented Alex Nestor.
Sorry.
Hardly. You know, it was hard to, you know, hold back the emotions for me. How is it for you? I know you've sung it 1,000 times, but...
It's funny. It's almost like I can't. You want to embody their spirit and you want to put that emotion in there. But I know for me, I have to. It's like, okay.
You have to deliver
it. Through it.
Yeah.
Breathe through it. Make this. It's almost like you just kind of can't think so much. Just go. Just do it. Don't think. Don't focus on anything. Just focus on the song itself. So, because the emotion's there and it's pretty heavy. But she lives on through that, and she's, you know, we love you, Jamie. She's wonderful.
Thank you so much for all that. And actually, you know what's interesting is the song you picked for the next song is kind of like, at least the title of it, is kind of like an answer to these pains and these sorrows.
True.
So at least the title, but tell us about it. So you say that, well, Love Always Wins is the title.
Amen.
Which is a great title, and it's the last song before this one, right? It's the last song to have come out before
this
one.
It was my last single,
okay.
Yeah. I actually wrote it. It kind of came out of nowhere. I wrote it after the Pulse nightclub shooting.
Ah.
When that happened, I've been in small nightclubs like that. I play in small clubs like that, and I know a lot of people there. And I do have friends, you know, like in the gay community that are just some of the most incredible people I've ever met. And they're just like, we're all humans. We're all people. And no way would any of us ever, you know, we can't just lay down and let hate take over or win. So if something like that is going to come at our community being a human community, how are we going to answer that? We're going to answer that with, we're not going to lose because we're here with love and love doesn't lose. As long as you keep loving and you keep putting that goodness and kindness out into the world, we can't lose. They can come at you know, they can come at us with everything they have. As long as we keep loving, we're winning. So I wanted to write something that just kind of spoke out to, you know, not even any one particular community of people, just to people. It's like, we're in this whole life thing together. That's how we get through it. And that's how it ends up, you know, being the best it can be, as long as we do it together. So I just wanted it to be something of community, of positivity, and of just something that just inspiring people to just keep loving.
Well, that's what you wanted, and that's what it is. And here's Alex Nestor singing Love Always Wins, live on the Life Changes show here at Studio NoHo.
But we're one on the end. All the tears you've cried through things that you've seen, every one of them has echoed in me. And when the darkness seems it's finally set in, we will rely on our light from within. Though hate can pierce through our hearts and our skin, you know it cannot break us, because love always wins. I said it cannot break us, because love always wins. My heart is aching and my body feels weak, but my spirit is compelled to sing. After walking through all that remains, we are stronger and our song hasn't changed. And when the darkness seems it's finally set in, skin, it cannot break us, because love always wins. I said it cannot break us, because love always wins. The hardest lesson we ever could learn is when they hurt us, how to love in return. The hardest lesson we ever could learn is when they hurt us, how to love, how to love. And when the darkness seems it's finally set in, we will rely on our light from within.
Wow. Alex Nestor, you're amazing. Thank you so much.
Doing that in a little room here with you guys, 5 feet from me. But
yeah. Amazing. Hey, you've worked in small clubs.
That is true. About this size, actually.
Alex Nestor, AlexNestor.com. Check out I Am More. Check out Love Always Wins and all of her other songs that are available all over the place. Just put in Alex Nestor. You'll find her. And I can't help but think how beautifully your message aligned with Dorothy's message from the Ask Dorothy segment and aligned with Rick's message to us all.
Oh, I was clapping in the other room. I'm like, yes to both of you.
Well, and we're clapping to you. So thank you, Alex Nestor. Thank you, Rick Namias. What a pleasure to have you both on the show.
Thank you.
Look forward to hearing more about both of what you're all doing and for all of us.
New record coming in spring of next year.
We'll have to talk about you coming back. Indeed. So good luck with that and everything that you're doing as well, Rick. And on that note, a big thank you again to BBS Radio, especially for our award tonight, but for everything that you've done with us and for us over the past almost 8.5 years.
Thanks, Doug and Don.
Thank you to Brent Hahn here at Studio NoHo for being our technical director.
Thank you, Brent.
And on behalf of Dorothy Donahue, our executive producer, and Mark Lejeure, our producer, I am Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, as ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.